Will you pray with me? Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I don't think it's just because it's the season of Lent, but I think that is helping. I have become increasingly aware of the toll that the technology in my life is taking on things that are more important. Now, before I start sounding like the pastor I heard in high school who told me I needed to get rid of all my music CDs, let me state it plainly, I will not be advocating for you to throw away your phone this morning. But I have found that limits are necessary when it comes to our devices and all the programs on them. You know things are bad when McDonald's advertises its app as something that gives off, and I quote, main app energy, a phrase I assume wants to claim that the McDonald's app is worthy of the major time we spend on our other social media apps. Now, it's worth mentioning, of course, that I heard this commercial while I was on my phone. But that a fast food app, which is a strange phrase all in itself, but that a fast food app could conceivably become a time waster, and the fact that we have come to know certain apps as time wasters at all, these things, they give us a pretty clear picture of the unhealthy nature of our relationship with technology. These devices that were designed to save time, and still do in many helpful ways, have also begun to take that same time back for themselves. Now, it is that question of time that I think our scriptures point us towards this morning. Not so much time in the sense of minutes and seconds, but in terms of the overarching story God is telling in his broader creation and redemption timelines. And in the particular story of our personal journey of following him. Now, we are used to this sort of time telling, of course. We use it all the time in the stories that we tell, read, and share. Now, if I were reading through The Hobbit, I could tell you what page I was on, linearly speaking, if I remembered. But that would probably give you zero information about what part of the story I was currently at. Now, instead, if I said I was reading about the unexpected party, or that the crew had just been captured by the trolls at night, if you're familiar with the story, you'd have a much better idea of where I was in the book. It's much the same in God's redemptive story, both broadly in terms of the whole world and personally in our story of knowing him. We could say how old we are to the day. We have that information. But that information doesn't speak to where God has brought us or where God is leading us. We can give the date on the calendar, and it is even often rendered as the year of our Lord. But we need to think of time in a different way to see the work that God is up to in the world. And here is the last dig I will make at social media and devices this morning. The distraction they provide, it dulls our senses to an awareness of this way, this holy way of looking at time. Technology, of course, is very good at telling us when we are late for something, or how long it's been since we've logged in. Social media is great at making us feel that we are behind in life, behind in our finances, behind in relationships. These things are not very good, however, at telling us where we are in God's story. A sense of God's presence and timing, it comes to us in the times that we can be silent and wait, in times of prayer and fasting, not in the glitz and clutter of the chronically online life. Jesus says to those who would follow him that we must take advantage of every opportunity we have to take hold of him. The light is among you, for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The time is now. Now, hopefully, this Lenten season has been an opportunity for you to engage in thinking about this view of time. And if not, it's not too late. Our scriptures for this morning, they give us the opportunity to refocus and look for the ways in which God is calling us to reflect on His timing and where we are in His story, both on the macro and on the individual levels. So I want to begin with the big story in terms of God's time or cosmic time. We don't have a much clearer indication of where we are than our reading from Jeremiah today, where the prophet looks forward to the time of a new covenant while sitting in exile. That exile being the result of the first covenant between God and Israel being broken by Israel's unfaithfulness. But here's what Jeremiah writes about the Lord, from the Lord, about this new covenant. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now, in this brief passage, we get so much about the new covenant, the new time that is ours in Christ. First, God will make us aware of His commandments through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." Next, in this time, we have an intimacy with God where we all know Him. The word from Jeremiah even specifies that this knowledge and intimacy will know no societal or hierarchical bounds. "They shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." You don't need to be a religious official to be close to God in the new way of things. Finally, the new covenant is a covenant of forgiveness. "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." These things are for those of us who live in the post-Jesus era of God's timing. The inner teaching and conviction of the Holy Spirit, intimacy with God that is available to all, the freedom that comes with God's forgiveness. What a glorious time to be in. What a glorious covenant it is. And so, just as that first covenant was centered on the temple and the sacrificial rites carried out there by the high priest, so too does this new covenant have a temple, a high priest, and a sacrifice. A couple of weeks ago, our readings drew us to reflect on how we are the temple of God's presence. And this week, our reading from Hebrews, it draws focus on the one who is both high priest and sacrifice, Jesus. Our calendars and stories that we tell ourselves, they so often hang on the roles of others. I don't have to tell you. Well, if I do have to tell you, congratulations, and I'm sorry that this is an election year. But I probably didn't have to tell you that, because there is a lot of money and screen time that is going to be dedicated in the coming 6 months to how the very existence of our nation depends on the tenure of whomever wins the White House. Friends, that is thinking far too small. Far too small. For there is a greater seat, and the one who sits upon it does not have any term limit or reason to vacate his position. He is the very Son of God, who is our high priest, our mediator to God, the one who is not merely human like his predecessors, but who, by laying his life down as the sacrifice, won our salvation.
When we tell stories, they are often framed by who was in charge at the time. This is even in the scriptures. In the year that King Uzziah died, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, or back in the Eisenhower administration. This is a fine way to tell linear time, but we must never forget that the most defining aspect of our reality and our story is that we live under the tenure of Jesus, the great high priest. Our passage from Hebrews highlights his tenderness, his mercy, his perfect obedience. All of our hopes are in him. It is Jesus or nothing. Our stories, our collective story, centers on him, all with this result, as the writer of Hebrews says. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So now with these two macro elements in place, God's new covenant, centered on Jesus, the eternal high priest, it's time to get more personal with regards to time. How do we look to the scriptures to tell our own stories well? We learned from our psalm this morning that our personal stories will go through seasons where confession and repentance are necessary. There is a time for everything, the preacher of Ecclesiastes says, and if we are to tell our stories truthfully, we need to be aware of the moments where we are called to repentance. David, who wrote Psalm 51, would probably have preferred to go without facing his guilt. We know that because he tried to. Perhaps all of us can't directly relate to David's sin specifically, against God, against Bathsheba, against Uriah, but we can all relate to the feeling of pushing down that feeling that we've done something wrong. The desire to cover it up and hide it from God and others. Now sometimes, God gives us no other option than to face what we have done. And so God, in David's case, used Nathan the prophet to confront David over his sins. And Psalm 51 is David's heartfelt response. No matter what he had done, and he had done great evil, David had the sense of timing to know that it was not too late for him to repent. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is the refrain of a life that is cognizant of what time it is. Finally, if we are paying attention to the timing of our stories, we will be ready to step into the purpose God intends for our lives, the things he has set before us to do. And of course, no one illustrates this better than Jesus. Think of the language of timing, not only in today's gospel reading, but throughout the gospel, and in particularly John's gospel. When Jesus' mother Mary wanted him to perform the first miracle of turning water into wine, Jesus initially resisted the suggestion because, as he said, my hour has not yet come. If you go through John's gospel, you will see these references to time and the proper timing, culminating, of course, in Jesus' death on the cross. But here in today's reading from John 12, there's a turning point. When Jesus hears of the Greeks who want to meet him, a sign that the whole world, not just the people of Israel, the whole world is ready to hear the good news. He knows that it is time to face his death, to fulfill his purpose. What does he say? The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, this sense of purpose can, of course, be overplayed in our lives. I received some messages growing up, I think unintentionally, that gave me a sense that suggested if I didn't find that one right career that God had planned for me, I was wasting my life. Now that's not a sense of purpose, but the idolization of a job. God's purpose for each and every one of his children is quite clear and simple. to be conformed to the image of his son. Your purpose, my purpose, as a Christian, is right there in the name. We are to become like Christ. And when we see the opportunities to grow in faithfulness, if we know what time it is, we take them. We embrace that purpose. I began this morning mentioning how distraction can make us lose our time. But there is a way in which purposeful action can also see us getting lost in time, but in a holy way. I do not know if you've ever experienced this, but there have been a few times in my life where I have been engaged in holy, meaning-making, and beautiful work so fully that I completely lose track of time. I will miss lunch and not notice it, which is saying something for me. I will look at the clock and be shocked at how much time has gone by. Not all who wonder, as Tolkien says, are lost. Finding purposeful work, it can be like that. It can be that joyful. It could also look like carrying a cross. We thank the Lord for both when we have a good sense of his timing. I want to live a life that tells a good story. And to do that, I need to know what time it is. I need to know that I live in a new covenant reality that hangs on the good high priest, Jesus. I need to know that in this world I will fail and be called to repentance. I need to be still enough to know when my purpose calls me to work that makes me grow into the likeness of Jesus. I won't get the awareness of these things by looking at a device or a watch, but by being formed in the scriptures, being formed in prayer. We are approaching a holy time, the holy days of Holy Week. Don't let the demands of your 24-hour days deaden you to the reality of holy time. Take the opportunities you have. Reach out and see how God is inviting you to tell a better story. For he makes all things new. Yes, even us. And his timing is perfect. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.